Let us not lift our souls to another. So give us clean hands, oh, give us your heart. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God, Jacob. Oh yeah, oh God, Jacob. Let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob.
Father God, we thank you for this time, just out of our busy weeks, out of so much that is going on in our lives to lift you high, to give you the glory that you are ever so due. God, I pray in that as we lift you up and we make you big and large in our lives, that again, all these problems, all these things that we're dealing with, where they don't go away, but or that they become smaller as we recognize how big a God we have and how big a heart he has for his children. So God, again, for those of us who maybe at the start just weren't feeling like singing, weren't feeling like lifting up this offering of praise, I pray that. Or maybe even those who don't feel worthy to sing to you, God, I pray that you would again remind us that. God, you're not after the necessarily the offerings that we bring, all the things that we say, look, God, what I did for you. But most importantly, God, you want that relationship with us. And from that relationship, where this wellspring of what we do, what we say, what we think, will be transformed by your love. So we just pray that you would continue to receive glory through this time, and pray that just your words would move and come powerfully through the words of Pastor Jim. Help us to hear. Help us to really listen. God, and may we just open up and just tear down our walls and our pride and be able to truly hear the words that we would need to hear today. Receive glory even through this time, through the preaching of your good word. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated.
Okay, Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand. Will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. As we come this morning to feast upon your word, to understand it and to apply it to our lives, I pray that you would speak powerfully. I pray that you would convict us and that you would also comfort us. Lord, we ask that you give us your spirit to help us to understand and to just be with us this morning. We thank you, pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now someone's good name, their reputation. A reputation, it takes a lifetime to build, but only a single mistake to destroy, really. A single mistake can destroy a reputation. Now on the news, this news story has been blowing up lately. The Samsung Galaxy, the Note 7, right? Before all this, before this debacle, Samsung, they were doing so well, weren't they? I mean, they were posting these record profits, right? And you know, really, they were seen as the only real competitor to Apple, you know? But, you know, after all these exploding phone incidents, and then the recall, and then the faulty replacements blowing up too, you know, their name, their reputation has been tarnished. And I heard that they recently literally killed off that Galaxy Note brand because the name is so tarnished. I mean, who would ever buy a Galaxy Note ever again, right, after this? Likewise, you know, last year, it was a brutal year for Chipotle, Mexican Grill, Chipotle. You know, you've heard about this, right, the E. coli outbreaks. You know, Chipotle was once the healthy environmental option, you know, if you wanted to go out and eat. They prided themselves on their hormone-free meat and their local suppliers, right? But then after a rash of these E. coli outbreaks and then, you know, dozens of people getting really sick, the restaurants, they had to literally give away food to try to win people back. Their reputation was tarnished, and it still hasn't fully recovered. Politicians who have spent months and years building up their name and their image, they can have their name dragged in the mud after just one little slip-up. A name, a reputation, is important. When you lose respect for a name, you begin to lose trust in that name. You no longer have faith in that company or that institution or that person. Okay? You lose respect for the name. God is very concerned with how his name is used and how it's portrayed. God is very concerned with his reputation, his image. God wants to be glorified, right? He wants to be known as the all-powerful, all-knowing God, right? He desires that everyone see how loving and merciful and patient he is. Our God also wants the world to know how just and righteous and holy he is. God takes his reputation very seriously. He guards his name very jealously. Therefore, when we disrespect his name, when we tarnish his reputation, we portray him as less than he truly is, God gets very angry. God gets angry. Verse 6 says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? Now in this verse, God speaks and he accuses the priests, right? You have disrespected and despised my name. I am a father, but you do not honor me. I am a master, but you do not fear me. You should know better than this. When I was young, my mom would always make me say this really weird thing. When my dad, he would come home from work, okay, and my mom insisted that I say, Ba, ni hui lai le. Okay, it literally translates to, okay, father or dad, you're home, you're back, right? Ba, ni hui lai le. And I always thought it was the stupidest thing to say, right? I mean, duh, he knows that he's home already, right? And why do I need to tell him that, right? You know, I'd be busy doing homework or, you know, practicing my violin or playing, you know, video games or whatever, right? But the moment we heard that garage door opening and the moment my dad, you know, opens the door, I would have to drop everything. I would have to drop everything and go and greet him and say, Ba, ni hui lai le. Okay. My mom would insist, right? And if I didn't say that, I would get in really big trouble. Okay. But then, back then, again, I thought this was just the most pointless, dumbest thing to tell him he's home, right? It's like, duh, he knows that. But now, you know, looking back, I realize it's not about letting him know that he's home. Right? It's about showing honor. Right? It's about showing respect. It's about not taking my dad's return for granted. I mean, he's just had a long day at work, supporting his family, supporting us. And the least I could do is acknowledge, right? Acknowledge him and honor him in this small way. If then I am a father, where is my honor? God says. God's rebuke is direct. I am your father, but you don't even honor me, right? You take me for granted. You do your own thing. Where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Where is my fear? Okay, imagine you call up your boss, your master, your boss. You call up your boss and you say, yeah, you know what? Hey, boss, I don't feel like coming into work this week. You know, I don't really do much work anyway. You know, I just browse Facebook and take long breaks anyway. So, you know, just don't feel like coming in this week, you know? Is that okay? Good luck. Good luck to you, right? Or you go to your professor, okay, and you tell him or her, you know, hey, I don't want to take my midterm. I don't want to take my midterm. You know, you're not a very good teacher anyway, and I don't think I'm going to do very well, so I'm not going to take it. Is that okay? We talk about lacking fear and respect, right? In the same way, God says in verse 11 that his name is to be great among the nations. Honorable, great, honorable. It says in verse 14, I am a great king, and my name is to be feared among the nations. He says, honor and fear. That's what his name should invoke. But you priests, you have not treated me so. You have not held me holy. You have dishonored my name. The third commandment, we all know very well, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain, right? What does that really mean? What does it mean to take something in vain? The English word vain comes from the Latin vanus, meaning empty or without substance. When we do something in vain, it means it produces no real results. It's pointless. It's useless. You might as well not do that thing at all. When you paddle upstream, you paddle in vain because no matter how hard you paddle, you're not going to get anywhere. If you rake the leaves on a windy day, right, you rake in vain, right, because your efforts are going to be futile. To use the Lord's name in vain is to call upon him, but not really expect an answer. It's to not really mean it. It's not really, you don't mean to call on him, but the words have been said. The name has been invoked fruitlessly. You see something surprising. Oh my God, right? Wait, did you really mean to call upon the name of the Lord? No, you didn't. It was just empty words. You stub your toe, right? Oh, Jesus Christ, right? Did you really mean to call on the name of the Lord? No, you didn't. It was just empty words. There's no substance behind the name that you just called out. God's righteous, holy name has been reduced to an expletive, to a soundbite. His powerful name is not given the proper respect and honor it is due. Likewise, when we call out, Abba, Father, but we do not honor him, right, that's holding his name in vain in some sense. When we call out, Lord, Master, but we do not fear him or we do not obey him, that's holding his name in vain. You know, if we do this long enough, our entire faith becomes in vain. It becomes just for show. It may be flashy on the outside. You may be saying the right words, but there's no substance inside of it. And that kind of a faith, that tarnishes God's reputation. 6b, but you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? When you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. Now, in these verses here, God details exactly how the priests have dishonored and disrespected his name. They've offered up polluted sacrifices. They've disobeyed his law. Take a look. Verse 8 says, you've altered blind animals on my altar. Blind animals. You offered animals that are lame and sick, animals that you didn't really want anyway. If you look in your Bibles later on, in verse 13, it says, you bring what has been taken by violence, animals that were already killed. They were already dead. It's like roadkill, bringing roadkill to lay on the altar. And then God, he rhetorically asks, would you even dare present these animals to a governor? Would you present these to your governor? And then you want to present them to me, to God? Right? The God who is king of the nations, the God who is Lord of the earth. You really want to bring me these tainted sacrifices and offerings? Really? God says in verse 10, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, right, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. Right, here God says, shut it down. Just shut it down. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. Right, shut it down. Right, get away. I have no pleasure in you. I take no delight in these sacrifices. He says, just stop it. Stop. We may be tempted to just stop there and say, well, you know what? I don't have this problem. I'm not offering, you know, lame and blind sacrifices, right? I don't disobey any of God's laws in bringing my offerings to him, right? We may be tempted to think that this is their problem, the priests. It's their problem, not ours. But if you look and you listen closely, the issue isn't so much about the offerings that they were bringing, right? The main problem is the state of their hearts. The state of their hearts. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept it from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. See, in verse 13, it says the priests, they found these offerings that they had to bring, weariness, tiresome. The people, they held back the best of their flock and gave of their worst, right? In verse 14, it says, this isn't a hands issue. This isn't a hands issue. This is a heart issue. Dishonoring God, disrespecting his name. This is a sin issue. And who here is without sin? I know I'm not. First point that I want you to remember today. First point. It dishonors God's name when we offer him less than our very best. It dishonors God's name when we offer him less than our very best. You know, God gives us his very best. Guess what? God gave us his son as a sacrifice, as an offering, a sacrifice. He gave us his son. And then not only that, he continues to provide for us daily and bless us as our heavenly Father who gives good and perfect gifts. God gives us his very best. Why then do we feel like we can give him our leftovers, our scraps? You know, when we push away our evening devotions, put them out of the way so that we can sneak in another episode on Netflix or whatever. When we write our offering checks and we give only what we can safely spare, like the change in our pocket. When we sit in sermons or Sunday school, and then we doodle in our bulletins or we play on our phones, we don't give his word our full attention, that's giving him scraps, right? That's dishonoring his name because he deserves our very best. He deserves all that we have to give. But when God, you know, he sees our pitiful offerings, you know, it says to him, You are not the most important in my life. I am. Right? God's, what it says to him, hey, spending time with you, Lord, is not as important as watching TV. Supporting your church, Lord, financially, is not as important as spending this money on myself. Yeah. Hearing and understanding your word is not as important as whatever is popping up on my Facebook. No, that's what your actions are really saying when you give him your scraps. Instead, if you're going to listen, listen attentively. If you're going to give it all. Right? It dishonors God's name when we offer him less than our very best, because that's what he's due. That's what he deserves. Second point for today, I want you to remember. It dishonors God's name when we serve him begrudgingly. In verse 13, God rebukes the priests. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it. Now I imagine the priests, they're thinking, oh, darn, is it that time of day again? Is it time to offer up the evening sacrifices? I thought we just did that. You know, we just did the afternoon sacrifices. Is it time again? Really? Gosh. That's the snort. Here we go again. Fine, let's get this over with. Let's get this over with. Now you can imagine that's what they were doing. Now that's not any of us, is it? That's not any of us, is it? Well, look a little closer. Many of us are in ministry of some kind, right, in service to the Lord in some way. You know, some of us preach, some of us teach Sunday school, some of us, you know, play on the worship team, some of us serve food in the kitchen. That's ministry. For those of us that are in ministry, is it a chore? Is it a hassle? Do we serve with joy, or seeing it as an opportunity to use our spiritual gifts and to grow in our faith? Or do we serve just going through the motions, begrudgingly? Oh gosh, it's Sunday morning again. Okay. Oh man, let's just get this lesson over with. You know, I can't stand these little kids. You know, I can't wait till my month is over for my rotation to end. Let's just get this over with. Is that your attitude towards serving? Because if it is, you know, God says, Hey, stop it. Close it down. Shut it down. Stop it, because I don't want it. You know, here's the reality, okay? Ministry is not always roses. It's not always roses. But it should never be a burden. Right? Serving God is a privilege. Serving God is an honor. And that's something that the priests, they lost sight of it. That's something we often lose sight of as well. If you're feeling burned out, if you're too stressed out about your ministry to see it as an act of sacrifice and worship, God says, stop it. Stop. Just shut it down. You know, it's okay if you stop. The church isn't going to fall apart without you. God doesn't need you to do stuff for him. He can manage just fine, thank you very much. If ministry becomes a chore, you're missing the point. Maybe it's time for you to take a break and refocus. It dishonors God's name when we serve him begrudgingly. Oops. God cares about his name. God cares about his reputation, his glory. When we give him our scraps, when we serve him half-heartedly, we say to him, you're not worth my very best. We say to others, hey, this God of ours isn't worth our very best. And that brings dishonor, not glory. That brings irreverence, not respect. that tarnishes God's reputation and the good name of Christ. I have a scenario, okay? Imagine that you read on the news that a very fancy new restaurant is just opened up in town. Very fancy new restaurant. What's your favorite kind of food? Like a steak, French cuisine, Asian fusion? I don't know. Okay. A very, very fancy pho restaurant. Okay, let's, for the sake of argument, let's say this is a steakhouse, okay? It's on the news. Ooh, you know, a big fancy steakhouse is opening up right in the heart of downtown, okay? 5-star restaurant, celebrity chef in the kitchen, right? And you look on Yelp, you know, Yelp, that review website, and you look on Yelp, and the reviews of the people that have gone so far, the reviews are stellar, right? Great food, good service, nice ambiance, right? Perfect, okay? This is where you're going to go for that important business meeting or that special date. That special date, okay? So you make a reservation, right? And wow, you have to wait an entire week before you can go, okay? And finally, right, the evening is there. Finally, the evening arrives. And so you arrive at this restaurant. Okay, you're all dressed up. And you sit down at your table, and everything is very nice, top-notch. And you browse through the menus. And you think you'll try the filet mignon tonight. Yeah. Okay, waiter, I'll have the filet mignon. And you sit there for a few minutes, admiring the decor, the table settings, the lovely music that is playing. And then the waiter arrives, you know, with the little plate with the little thing on top. And he sets it down before you, right? And opens it up, and you look. And what do you see? You see the saddest looking hamburger that you've ever seen in your life. Okay, it looks worse than fast food. Okay, you see this hamburger, it's worse than fast food. Okay, the bun is all soggy with grease. The ketchup and the mustard, they're just kind of like, they're squirting out the sides. Yeah, the lettuce is all wilted and yellow. You know, it looks like it's the lettuce is old, right? It's a couple days old. Okay, you give it a sniff. And the beef, it actually smells rancid, okay? It smells rancid, like it wasn't properly refrigerated and they just cooked it with a bunch of sauce or something to try to mask it, but you can smell it. It's rancid. Right? Waiter, I ordered the filet mignon. What happened here? Sorry, sir, we ran out, you know? This is what we could find in the kitchen. Right. Oh, what happened, right? Did that restaurant live up to its reputation? Did that restaurant live up to its reputation? Were you served what you expected or deserved to be served? What kind of review are you going to leave this restaurant on Yelp after that experience? Are you going to recommend this place to anybody else? Are you going to tell people, hey, come to this restaurant? When we give God our second best, when we serve him half-heartedly, we likewise, we're serving a king food that is not even fit for dogs, right? When we are likewise tarnishing his good name, his reputation. Brothers and sisters, consider what your actions are saying to God, and also consider what your actions are saying about God. Are you glorifying him and making his name great, or are you dragging his reputation through the mud? People are watching. God is watching. Let's give him what he deserves, our very best, for the glory of his great name. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we confess that oftentimes we do not give you our very best. Oftentimes we do just give you our leftovers, what we can spare, what we're comfortable with. Oftentimes we serve you half-heartedly, going through the motions. Father, it should not be this way. You deserve our very best. You deserve our full hearts, our full attention. Lord, help us to care about your reputation, your name. Help us to care about what our actions say to you and say about you. Lord, if there's anything that we need to change today, Lord, I pray you give us conviction to make that change. Lord, you are the great King. We seek to honor you. We desire to fear you, to respect you, to obey you. Lord, help us not to take your name in a cavalier way. Lord, your name is glorious. Help us to act that way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, can I ask that everyone stand up and we'll sing a song in response? Just like we just heard, when we go from church, which is admittedly just a few hours of our week, and go back to our jobs or families, may it really be true that the way that we live, how we worship, not just songs, but how we live, how we think, may it be done in a way where God's name would be lifted high, where we wouldn't draw it through the mud. And so this next song that we will sing, the bridge goes, in my life be lifted high, in our world be lifted high, and in our love be lifted high. Pray that would be, again, a prayer for you if this message spoke to you, so that, again, that God's name would be made great in this world and he would use us. So let's sing it together. Again, my whole life.
Oh, in my whole life, I place in your hands, God of mercy, humbled I bow down in your presence at your throne. Yeah, I call. And you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. I call, yeah, I call. to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. Yeah. Oh, I'll sing it in my life, in our world, in our love. Oh, in my life, yeah, be lifted high in our world. Be lifted high in our love. Be lifted high, yeah. In my life, oh, be lifted high in high in love, yeah, be lifted high, be lifted high in our life, oh, be lifted high in our world, be lifted high in our love, oh, be lifted high. I call, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are.
I call,
yeah, I call, you answered. And you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are.
There's no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be, no place, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love.
Father God, we do again, we thank you for your good work, how it is timeless, it is not bound to the Israelites, the Jews, some 100,000 years ago, but that its truth still rings loudly today. If our hearts would but listen and accept and repent if necessary, and find that your hand is extended to lift us up and to empower us, Holy Spirit, to walk this life, not just trudging through it, not going through it begrudgingly, saying, man, this Christianity thing's really hard, but that we take joy in the sacrifice, we take joy in the offering. And most importantly, that we would take joy when your name is lifted high, when it is given the glory that it is due. God, you are so worthy.
thank you for your love and how, again, your greatness and your power shown through your constant pursuit of us and your love of us. God, we thank you. May we in turn respond to that great love in a desire to live lives, speak words, move our hands and our feet for your glory alone, that our offering might be accepted as pure and be accepted as a fragrant offering to you. So we thank you for this time. We love you, God. We love you. We thank you. Be glorified, continue to be glorified this week. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You guys can be seated.
Good morning. We're going to continue our time of worship with a testimony. After the testimony, we'll wrap up immediately with the benediction. I would like to introduce a man where his beautiful face is only outmatched by his beautiful heart. We have Sir Sane here to share his testimony with us, and let's welcome him up to...
Thanks, Brody. Hi. Hello? Yep. Hey, good morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Sir Sane. So I was thinking about a little bit about the message this morning about, you know, like, Bao Hui Lai La. I have another example in my family. It's every time we have lunch or dinner, when we sit down, we have to say, Bao Ma Sik Fan. It's like, you know, eat. You know, like, it's like, why do I say that? The worst thing is during Chinese New Year, where you have to sit with your, we have like six aunts and six uncles all together, and we'd be like, Yi sam sik fan, sam sam sik fan, luk sam, luk suk sik fan, and be like, off 3 minutes before I get to eat. All right, okay, all right. But that's a quick little off. But all right, I'm here to talk a little bit about testimony, about what has God done in my life. So when Pastor Jim asked me the question and to say, hey, would you like to give a testimony at church? I'm like, I wasn't even thinking about yes or no. I was like, oh man, I've got so many things I want to say, talk about. What should I talk about? So needless to say, I kind of like funneled it down to a couple of key points I wanted to talk about. So let me talk a little bit about myself first. The Leongs, we've actually lived here 11 years ago. We lived in Seattle for 5 years. And then we moved to South Carolina for 5 years, and we just returned end of last year. And I kind of looked back in my life and said, hey, 11 years ago when I came to this church, it was my outlook and what I do, how I serve at this church is so much more different than what I am doing today. And I think there's a lot of things that God has taught me throughout these 11 years. One of the things I really want to bring up is be bold to speak about Jesus. I can tell you, 11 years ago, man, I am, you know, at work, even at church, it'd be like, you know, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. But, you know, I always have that feeling, right? So I talked to my son yesterday, Aiden. He's in fourth grade. My bad. He's turning 10. So he in South Carolina, you know, he started school there, and he went to a private Christian school. You know, they have prayer, they have worship. Everybody's a Christian. No worries. We moved here. Now he's in the public school, right? Public school is way different than Christian school, right? There's no, you don't talk about that religious stuff, right? So yesterday I asked him, hey, Aiden, do you talk about Christian? You know, do people ask you if you believe in Jesus? And what would you do if you did that? He said, he thought about it a little bit. He's like, daddy, I would stall. So I was like, stall? Like what? Look, there's a dinosaur? He said, no. And he thought about it a little bit more. And he said, I talk about trading Pokemon cards. So that would be his stall tactic, Right. So for me, you know, it used to be I would use that similar tactic. You know, I would stall or change the subject, right? But, you know, in Acts 18:9, God spoke to Paul, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you." You know, that's one of the things that really gave me the courage to be able to, you know, talk about it. You know, even with my boss today, you know, he's not a believer, but, you know, like, he hasn't penalized me or, you know, wrote me down on my performance management yet. So, you know, working in a corporate, it depends on the individual. And I'm really, really glad that God has actually prepared the people around my life that are open to these kinds of conversations. All right, so the next thing I wanted to talk about is the next thing that God has helped me with is, let me see, scroll down a little bit. Take action and contribute. That's what God has helped me with through these years. In South Carolina, I went to Metro North Church, and we had a new pastor, and his name was Pastor Howard Cole. He is a ball of energy, this guy. He was an emergency nurse for the longest time, and then now he's serving full-time as a pastor. But he really embedded in my mind and in my heart about, he says that he believes that a healthy church is made up of every member having a job or a role, and then the members can feel that they are involved and they belong. So that's kind of like the mentality I've also put in my mind these days. James 2:7 said, "What good is a man if he claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and food. If one says, 'So I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." So I want to, you know, that spoke to me, right? And from there, you know, I just think like, hey, you know, I can't just, oh, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, let me pray to Jesus. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing to help further the kingdom or contribute to the church? Okay. So I think I'm out of time. I wanted to make sure that that's two things I really want to, you know, reach out and ask for all of you guys out there to do. You know, one thing is, you know, regardless of the situation, you know, be bold, you know, be bold, be brave. It's okay to talk about Jesus. You know, if they don't want to hear it, I'm not asking you to be a street corner preacher. All right? You don't have to do that. If people don't want to hear it, they'll tell you. And it's okay. All right? Okay, well, let's change the subject. It's all right. Next thing is, hey, do something. Do something. You know, go, I don't know, help with arranging the chairs, help with the kids' ministry. You know, I don't know, picking up, you know, after we have our communion, those little cups. I know Carl has been doing that. Help him with that, right? I think we all have a role in the church. Okay? Thank you for this opportunity, Pastor Jim.
Thank you for your sharing. Let's pray and then receive the benediction and have time for silent prayer. Father God, we thank you for Sir Sain's sharing about what you've done in his life, and just help them to be more bold in sharing your name, and just giving him opportunities to serve, and just that motivation. Lord, I pray that we would all seek to glorify your name, and we would all seek to serve you with the right attitudes, Lord, not begrudgingly, but out of joy, out of a sense of love for you. So thank you, God, for this morning, that where we could worship you and learn and hear from you and sing to you. I pray that you would continue with us this week as we go back into our homes, back into our workplaces, our schools, and help us to live lives that build up your reputation, that glorify your name. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the love of God, the Father, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
to you with my heart in pieces and found a God with healing in his hand. I turn to you, put everything behind me.